This is BetCenter on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome in. It is another fun, action-packed Saturday night of college football betting as we welcome you into VSiN Bet Center alongside Jeff Parles. He's got that smile on his face, folks. There's a reason.
It's a good day. It's a good day today, Ben.
It's a good day. I'm Ben Wilson, Jason Conn, our producer behind the glass, as we start the show getting right into it, all the latest college football action you need to know about. But we'll start first with, look, we should have known, Jeff, this was going to be a crazy day when, for the first time in 61 chances this morning, a team you were on, the Flying Falcons of Bowling Green. That's my petition to change their official mascot to the Flying Falcons. They knock off Minnesota on the road as a 30.5-point underdog outright, Jeff. And that really has kicked off what's been just a bonanza of a day in the college football slate.
Well, look, we were due for one of these wacko days, and we finally got it. Look, I like the Flying Falcons. I think that's
right, we'll go with it.
I think that's what it should be going for. 31.5-point underdogs last night, close 30.5, win the game outright. We had UNLV look like they had a chance to do it last night as a 30-point dog against Fresno. In shocking fashion, UNLV did not get home in that one.
Not.
But Bowling Green got home today, and then that set off what was a really dramatic, especially the first slate had its moments. Notre Dame obviously pounding Wisconsin in the second half. Just so many questions for Wisconsin moving forward. I don't know how Graham Mertz can start next week if you're the Badgers. But that 4 o'clock Eastern, that 3:30, 4 o'clock Eastern slate was fantastic. And obviously the big one, Clemson falling in overtime 27-21 to NC State, Ben, which featured the rare chance where I actually thought not going for two in overtime as the underdog was actually the proper play. And good for Dave Doran, it worked out.
After what was just a nightmarish outing for the kickers, as his kicker missed three field goals, including a potential game winner in regulation, but NC State, one of several outright upsets today. And look, here's the beauty of these college football Saturdays. We still got a bunch more action,
yes, Jeff, we do,
including some live action. And there was one very popular underdog today, a team in Stanford who was bet down from 5, Jeff, to 4.5, down to 4 on the closing line. Stanford at home, their home opener today, as they took on UCLA. And this was a game, Jeff, where the Bruins come out. They lead 14-0 right out of the gates. Stanford, for those of you who didn't pay attention to this throughout the week, this was somewhat late-breaking news. They had basically the entire running back room go out due to COVID. That's a team that is fully vaccinated. However, there were several breakthrough cases. The top three running backs all out for a run-first team, Jeff, that has not really relied on much in the way of the passing game with Tanner McKay so far as their quarterback. As a result, they had only one running back. They go down 14-0 early, and you probably thought as a potential popular underdog, this game was over. But UCLA, the Bruins, who have been known to blow leads like they did last week and could not come back against Fresno State, losing outright as an 11-point underdog for Chip Kelly's UCLA Bruins, they have also tried to let this lead slip. It's now 28-24. Stanford, despite being heavily outgained in this game, has basically pushing right now, depending on the number, but based on the closing number, this would be a push. And right now on the live line, Jeff, 7.5 to the Bruins on your live markets. Amazing, though, when you look at the box score, to actually realize, and this is why we cover these in-game betting perspective games, Jeff, that this game is somehow a one-score possession, and it's a game where UCLA, on the surface, is completely dominated.
UCLA, by the way, is in the red zone. They have a second down and 4 coming from the Stanford 15-yard line. Look, last week, UCLA, a total gut punch, losing that game to Fresno State, where Fresno State's quarterback barely could move at the end of the game, and they couldn't get a stop, and really, again, a damaging blow to the Pac-12 that now has one team remaining for a potential playoff spot in Oregon. But look, if you're UCLA, you can't lose this game. I'm sorry. I know Stanford had back-to-back good wins, a really good win 2 weeks ago, which obviously cost the job of Clay Helton at USC. But if you're UCLA, you got to find a way to win this game and get a touchdown here, get inside, get above the number here, and we'll see if you can keep them out of the back door.
Live betting markets are now suspended, but this game has already gone over the 58.5 pregame total in UCLA and Stanford. And I mentioned too, Jeff, with all the running backs out for the Cardinals so far, Nate Peets, a guy who, ironically enough,
both of us covered.
You and I have covered in high school when he played his high school football in Columbia, Missouri. He's been the only running back available today for the Cardinal. And as I look at the updated numbers on him, Jeff, 12 carries, 41 yards, a team. Stanford with 18 carries for 17 yards as a whole. But Tanner McKee has kept them in the game. I know I just sort of said they're not a team that relies on him, but three touchdown passes so far for a guy who was not expected even to be the main starter, trying to replace Davis Mills coming into the season at that quarterback position. So you have to give them some credit for hanging into the game. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson, to this point, 18 of 29, 207, and a touchdown. But Zach Charbonnet has continued, despite, as we you just mentioned, that frustrating loss to Fresno State, Jeff. Fantastic senior season for him. 24 carries, 206 yards, and a touchdown so far. What, 8.6?
Yeah, not too bad.
So that's the game we're tracking right now. Again, 9:10 to go in the fourth quarter. We're going to have to bust out the Pac-12 Network iPad. I think.
Why not?
Game in studio. That is the game latest on in its progression of the games that we're tracking right now. And we will get into the later, the Pac-12 After Dark games, of which there are three of them. Yes, we get three this week. We'll talk about those in a little bit. As far as some other top guns, though, playing right now, we do have a number of top 25 teams in action as we speak. And while the theme, it seemed all day, has been the big top 10 teams who have struggled, especially as big favorites, we're seeing yet another one of those play out in the late window as, at this moment, Oklahoma in a dogfight at home in a game where they were favored by as many as 17 points. Looking at how this closed in a spot where the Oklahoma Sooners taking on West Virginia, they were as high as a 17.5-point favorite against West Virginia. But it's the Mountaineers who get a late first-half field goal to take a 10-7 lead into the halftime locker room. It's good timing, Jeff, that we come on now because we get to take a look at a halftime line that should be populating any second. Just looking at our live odd screens that we have here in studio to wait for those numbers to show. But I think you hit on it last week. You said flat out, Oklahoma, they're not very good. They,
frauds.
After failing to cover against Tulane as massive favorites, Oklahoma, after failing to cover against Nebraska as massive favorites, Oklahoma, and here they are, 3-0, third in the country, but again, struggling and down at the half.
They're just not that good. I think that's as simple as to put it. Right now, because this is now every single game they have made their opponent look significantly better than they are. And look, what this was one of those where, from a traditional sense, this was a great bounce back spot for Oklahoma after messing around completely with a mediocre Nebraska team, and a perfect letdown spot for West Virginia after beating Virginia Tech last week. You had a perfect scenario where you would have expected, okay, Oklahoma should be able to handle West Virginia at home and put a whole bunch of points on them, and it hasn't happened. And look, West Virginia, big dog in this game, getting double digits in the first half, and they win the first half outright.
Outright. And right now, second half line has just been posted behind us at the Circus Sportsbook where we are located, VSiN Bet Center, on a Saturday night. It is, I'm seeing either 7.5 or 8, Jeff, in the market as we speak at this moment. So if you extrapolate that out for the game, you've got Oklahoma down 3 right now. You want to lay 7.5 for the game. You're looking at OU minus basically, 4.5 to 5 for the whole game. I don't know. What you're saying, some of the struggles early. And we've seen, while the numbers have been really good for Spencer Rattler so far, who came into the season, your favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, not the case anymore. Rattler, through his first 3 games, 7 touchdowns, a couple picks, 75% completion rate. So on the surface, Jeff, it's looked good. But to your point, something just hasn't totally clicked with them. And in a game like this tonight, 7 of 11, 73 yards, a touchdown, a pick. But we've seen a lot of these games so far from Rattler, like 7.3 yards per attempt. That's not really what you expected out of him. You expected massive plays up and down the field the whole game, and 7.3 yards per attempt isn't really cutting it for a guy
He's been
him.
Very average for the number one quarterbacking prospect in the country when he was recruited to Oklahoma. And now look, Ben, again, this was supposed to be the breakthrough year. This was supposed to be the season that Oklahoma finally busted through, not only made the playoff, but win the whole darn thing. And it just hasn't happened for this team. Nothing we've seen through the first 3 games has indicated that this is more than maybe just a Big 12 champion, because you're dealing with a Big 12 now, which, by the way, Iowa State loses today. Shocking, Iowa State failing to live up to preseason expectations yet again. Loses to Baylor as a 7-point road favorite. This is an average team to me. This is a team that you're probably looking at being a team that wins the Big 12, and if they get in the playoff, they're going to get smacked by Alabama in a 1v4 game.
I feel like there's that F word you could use about a number of teams, including 2 in the Big 12. That big old fraud word, Iowa State, as they fall to Baylor on the road today. Again, is it that? Now, not as large of a favorite as you would have thought. I think a lot of people had caught on to that thought for Matt Campbell and company the head coach for Iowa State, but they fall as a 6.5 to 7 point favorite outright, 31-29 in that game at Baylor. And right now, Oklahoma, to your point, 7 returning starters for defensive coordinator Alex Grinch, and anchored by Perrion Winfrey, a guy who I think many, as you kind of alluded to, Jeff, was expected to really dominate from a front four perspective and just in general. So right now, Oklahoma down 10-7 at halftime. And I think even though on the surface it's like, all right, you were laying 17 pregame, all of a sudden it's 4.5 or 5. We've seen in a lot of cases, especially for home teams, a comeback against inferior opponents, usually good bets. But I think what we're getting at here is we've seen the story play out, and Oklahoma has narrowly escaped. 5-point win over Tulane, 7-point win over Nebraska, and even though West Virginia's had its struggles, certainly on a different plane, wouldn't you say?
This is, again, I don't trust Oklahoma. This is a different circumstance. Like today, Iowa's second half was as good of a bet as you're ever going to make in-game college football. There were 11.5s for the second half, which was 4.5 for the game, and 5 for the game, 12 in the second half against a horrible Colorado State team who played a great first half. Guess what? Iowa covered all second half numbers against Colorado State. So, look, there are some great opportunities like that. This Oklahoma one absolutely does not fit that bill.
As we've rolled into conference play officially, we have another number of really interesting games that have been tight throughout. One of them in the SEC, a team in potentially a letdown spot, but they did just score a touchdown. That's going down at the Swamp. We'll give you an update on that next as we're just getting started with you for the next 3 hours and change right here on VSiN Bet Center.
This is Bet Center on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back in. It is first hour of VSiN Bet Center. We're here with you until 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Back with Jeff Parles. I'm Ben Wilson. We'll get into our full NFL previews for Week 3. Right now, though, doing our deep dive into the college football Saturday night slate with so much going on, including down in the Swamp, Jeff, where we almost saw the Giants slayed last week, Alabama.
But almost.
It did not quite happen. Florida was able to cover last week as a huge underdog in that spot of about 14 points, but many people thinking in the turnaround spot now, you go against Tennessee, an SEC team who has struggled so far this season under first-year coach Josh Heupel. The Vols were getting a lot of points in this spot. You look at how it closes, Jeff, and this ended up in the 19 range, pretty much market-wide for Florida, but there was not a whole lot of, impetus or desire for many people to bet this game. If you look at VSiN.com, we have our guy Chris Andrews, the South Point Sportsbook director, who's also been a VSiN contributor and does his 3 times a week columns, just breaking down, Jeff, where all the line movement is coming in at his shop. And he said, look, not a lot of play to Florida in this game. Not too many people wanting to get involved with the team coming off such an emotional win. And like we've seen so far today, Jeff, with a lot of big favorites at home, an early struggle for the Gators, but they did just score a touchdown. They're now up 24-14. We're just underway in the third quarter, and the Vols have a big 3rd-and-1 in their own territory right now. As I mentioned, this closed 19 with a total of 65. Tennessee's able to pick it up, Jeff, and you look at it live. Currently, Florida laying 10.5, so a bit reduced from that first number, a little bit updated from that 15.5 you saw there from a moment ago.
Well, they're already at Tennessee's basically at midfield. By the way, this is one of these scenarios where Tennessee is probably better off with Hooker, who is the quarterback tonight, as opposed to the regular starter, Joe Milton. Because Joe Milton really has shown us nothing through the first few games for Tennessee. And Hooker's played pretty well when he's been asked to play so far. And look, if you were looking to bet this game, Ben, I think the proper play is something that's already done. Was the first half on Tennessee, which ended up coming home, 10.5, 10, whatever number you got, because this was a perfect first half letdown spot for Florida coming off of that emotional loss to Alabama. Keep in mind, this is a huge rivalry game that has not been a rivalry basically for 20 years because Tennessee's been in the doldrums for almost 2 decades now. But look, for Florida, just win the game. I think Florida probably doesn't cover that preflop number. And look, if I were betting it right now, we can get a 10.5 on Tennessee. I don't hate that. I don't hate that right now, Ben.
Betting markets now have suspended, as Jeff, you just mentioned. They picked up a first down and pick up another
one. Picked up a lot more than the first there.
Across midfield, they're averaging over 5 yards a rush. And you mentioned the Virginia Tech transfer in Hendon Hooker, who, I mean, look, 22 touchdown passes over his last 2 years at Va Tech. So a guy with at least some pedigree, Jeff, and makes sense for Josh Heupel, who's been known as an offensive mind, especially going back to his days at UCF, where led the Golden Knights to a 28-8 record in his few seasons there. So you would think it makes sense, and so far, 5 touchdowns to just a single interception for Hooker when he's been that starting quarterback. What has interested me, though, is you would kind of expect maybe some more struggles for Emory Jones, who we have seen the flashes for him, the quarterback for Florida, on the ground. But it's been really hit or miss so far through the air for him, just 2 touchdowns, 5 picks. Now, when you go against Alabama in a secondary like that, it's going to be difficult. But the thing is, for Jones today, that might be one of the things that you would anticipate holding Florida back. And that's not been the case. Jones has actually been really good today, 15 of 18, 154, and a touchdown, Jeff. It's just been the Vols defense is actually, and I would think a lot of teams are going to start doing this, the game plan against the run of Jones, holding him to just 10 carries for 46 yards so far. That seems to be a template now going forward. You have to think, oh, a lot of these teams are going to say, all right, we've seen Jones run. Let's see him pass and actually make us beat him.
Yeah, look, and I think that was the big question coming in this year for Florida. How big of a quarterback drop is it from Trask to Jones or whoever may end up at that position for Florida? And look, he was much better than I expected last week. Florida played much better than I thought they would last week against Alabama. I didn't think I didn't want to lay the number with Alabama, but I would have bet Bama if I was made to bet that game last week. And Florida was one of the worst 2-point conversion attempts of all time away from forcing overtime in that game against Bama. So, look, Dan Mullen can coach. We know this. He may not be Urban Meyer, but he's a darn good football coach. And that team has overachieved most years since he's gotten down there to Gainesville. So, look, you're in a scenario now where Florida's whole season comes down to winning the world's largest outdoor cocktail party against Georgia at the beginning of November.
I think they'll have a chance. They'll at least be live in the game. Georgia will certainly be a favorite in that spot. But
yeah,
for now, trying to take care of business. They have an injury timeout right now in Gainesville, so we'll keep you posted on that. Another team as well, certainly not at the same ilk of Florida, but a team coming off of a pretty large win and potentially a letdown spot. We know for Florida, obviously didn't win, but they did cover as a huge underdog. Well, Michigan State not only covered, Jeff, but they won the game outright in Coral Gables last Saturday at Miami. And the Spartans, look, they move into the top 25, all of a sudden getting some buzz, even though that was not really expected out of the guys in East Lansing this season. And they turn around, face a Nebraska team that I think we've gone a little too far on the slander, Jeff, I have to say. We loved ripping Scott Frost and this Huskers team for how they lost week one to Illinois. But since then, Nebraska team that has fared okay, had a game where they lost tight to Oklahoma as a large underdog, but did cover last week. And Adrian Martinez has been much better since that opener. Now 5 touchdowns, just a pick, and over 1,000 yards in his first 4 games. And here they are, tied with the Spartans, 13 up. We are at halftime right now, getting a halftime line on this. Jeff, they are into the third quarter, I should say. So just started the third, but Michigan State actually got bet down, just a 3.5-point favorite when things were all said and done here.
Yeah, this was a very popular, sharp side Nebraska today. And look, I think the regression to the mean for Michigan State is going to come at some point. And if it happened today, it wouldn't have shocked me. I didn't bet this game. It's always one of those, and especially in college football, Ben, where you get a number that to you doesn't make much sense when you eyeball it. And that's kind of what this was for me. It's like Michigan State's only 5 at home against Nebraska. And then you see it's one-way train on Nebraska in the betting markets, and it closes 3.5. That kind of scared me in the way of just betting this. And look, Michigan State last week, that was an even game into the fourth quarter, and Miami totally lost their minds in the fourth quarter. So, look, I don't know how good Michigan State really is. I think they're a reasonable team. They're clearly a bold team, but they're not as good as they've shown these first 3 weeks. Wouldn't shock me if Michigan State wins this game by a field goal and every single Nebraska number ends up coming in. Right now at 2.5, I probably would stay off of it, because especially with that minus 135 juice on the Spartans right now in a 13-13 game.
And it was a field goal. The Huskers just kicked to tie it up at 13. And we'll say this, you talk about regression as well. Michigan State, they bring in a Wake Forest transfer in Kenneth Walker III. 8.6 yards per carry and 5 touchdowns through their first few games. You would expect that to regress a little bit, even with how good Walker has looked. And to that point, it has. 12 carries, 37 yards. That is just 3.1 yards per carry so far. And so for second-year head coach Mel Tucker, who for the rebuild, Jeff, we thought, okay, he's a guy with a lot of upside as a coach, good track record and background, but you wouldn't have expected it to come this early with some of the struggles Michigan State has had, especially when he took over the program. And you always wonder, too, just the angle of that newly found top 25 team coming back home for the first time. Michigan State has, and also when you have a redshirt freshman quarterback in Peyton Thorne, we're getting a lot of similarities here. We have redshirt freshman, a quarterback, redshirt freshman running back. There's a lot of pieces there that are hard to trust just over the course of a long season, right? And we're seeing that kind of play out so far.
Yeah, and look, again, Ben, you're just in a scenario here where at some point the regression to the mean was going to
happen.
So far it has happened tonight. And also, too, Walker, who was only averaging a cool 160 yards a game.
That's
on the ground.
That's also pretty good.
Down to just over 40 right now so far in this game.
Shade over 40. Again, 3.5. I mentioned 2.5 a moment ago. I've been seeing 3.5 years suspended. 49.5 is your live total if you want to get involved on this game, which did close in the 54.5 range. So we have that game going on again. Just looking at some of the movement, Jeff, it has gone market-wide to Oklahoma -8 for the second half. So there has been some Sooner support, -5 for the game, but as you alluded to earlier, you are not interested, and I do not blame you.
I don't want either side. I don't want either. You missed a boat on West Virginia, and for
20,
Oklahoma, I don't try to.
27 total. You're at 17 right now.
What has Oklahoma done this year to make you think that they're going to win? If they win this game, they're going to win it more than four.
They have not shown.
They haven't
you
shown us anything this year. Honestly, your best chance of covering that to me would be, again, Oklahoma could come out and run them out of the building, but you get that game to overtime.
Oklahoma could
cover that game in overtime if it gets there. But look, West Virginia is not a pushover. That's, I think, one of the weird things. I understand. Again, we broke down before. Horrible spot for West Virginia coming off a big win at home against Virginia Tech. Good spot for Oklahoma to look better after looking pretty mediocre against Nebraska last week. But West Virginia is not a pushover. That's a totally solid football team. They're a legitimate bowl team. And with how the Big 12 looked today, TCU loses to SMU outright.
9.5-point favorites.
Iowa State loses to Baylor.
Not what you want.
The number two slot in the Big 12 is wide open for someone to slide in there. It could be Texas, who looked great against Texas Tech today. It could be West Virginia if they find a way to upset Oklahoma.
You were the one. You almost went in on Western Carolina, right? Week two against Oklahoma.
Thankfully, I didn't because they lost by 1,000.
Not quite 1,000, 76-0, but that's the only game Oklahoma has covered so far in what's been a very interesting season so far. We'll continue updating you. A couple big games still in action that we'll get to right after this here on VSiN Bet Center. Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money, and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribers. We're back on VSiN Bet Center. There is so much action going on. It's a Saturday night in the college football slate. Back with Jeff Barles. I'm Ben Wilson. We have like a million TVs in our studios, Jeff, and that's not even enough to contain all of the action going on right now. Although the iPad that I brought out.
That game's over,
though. The Pac-12 Network iPad I set up just in time for UCLA to finish off Stanford. They do get a late touchdown to cover UCLA, and this was a game where they dominated from a box score perspective. We're up 14-0, but if you were a UCLA backer, you did have to survive. I know we mentioned there was a chance still to get in on the Bruins, laying only 7.5. They end up winning with a late touchdown, 35-24, and this game goes well over the closing total of this ends up, yeah, that was actually 60.5 or 61, so I should say I think 59 is your closing number, so that goes under in that game, but UCLA gets the win, clearly a better team than Stanford, and there have been a couple other, I would say, somewhat mismatches so far, Jeff, in these conference-only slates, including one that I don't know that I really expected to be so lopsided, but K-State has been absolutely walloped so far by Oklahoma State. That's really, of our late games, the one that we'll kind of mention now and probably not touch on unless it gets closer, because this thing has been just a whitewashing. 31-13 for a Sooner team that most people felt was pretty fortunate to get a win in Boise last weekend.
The Cowboys, not Sooners there real quick, Ben. But
look, like I said, there's so many games going on.
This is very impressive from Oklahoma State because Oklahoma State's offense last week, especially their passing game, was dreadful against Boise. And to flip around against a well-coached team, now, look, I don't think Kansas State deserved to be in the top 25. But look, as we know, rankings are completely meaningless, except if you're in the top 10. But this has been very impressive because their offense, Spencer Sanders, who threw for an illustrious 61 yards last week, is 14 to 21 for 230 and two touchdowns. He's been really good in this game against a good defense. So very impressive bounce back by Oklahoma State, who had been very, even though they're 3-0, they're very unimpressive in their three wins, Missouri State, Tulsa, and Boise State. And now in a big delay, again, it's a Big 12 that is wide open. And if Oklahoma somehow gets upset tonight, it's even more wide open for someone to sneak into that Big 12 title game. And why not Oklahoma State? I'm going to basically say this about all these teams in the Big 12. Oklahoma State? Why not Baylor? Why not Texas at this point? Why not West Virginia if you pull the upset as a 17-point dog?
Mike Gundy's
tonight?
Telling his Cowboys, why not us?
Basically anyone but Kansas, I would say, has a chance in the, in the Big 12.
Probably fair. And Spencer Sanders, who was only 21-39, 255 yards, a couple touchdowns and a pick in his first two games. That was after missing the opener with COVID protocols, to your point, Jeff. I mean, he's been outstanding with the 14-21 for 230 and two touchdowns. It has not helped on the K-State side where you lose Skylar Thompson. Not sure if he'll be done for the year, but it certainly seems that way. The sixth-year senior who's already had injury problems before at quarterback for Kansas State. They've had to go looking at the box score, Jeff. It's been a dual quarterback system, including a guy in Jaron Lewis, who you and I, again, both covered in high school in Columbia, Missouri. What a random thing. And he was a pretty average high school quarterback. He is now starting a Big 12 game on the road for Kansas State, and it's not going well. He has thrown an interception, now averaging 5.3 yards per attempt so far. And so between him and Will Howard, these two quarterbacks combining for just 113 passing yards on 23 attempts. So even though Kansas State 3-0, Jeff, when you lose your leader, especially a sixth-year senior like Skylar Thompson, I know you're a run-first team, so you're not hoping to really fully depend on the quarterback position, but it's a hard thing to come back from when you just have nothing to offer at your, you know, arguably your most important spot, right?
Cash the Rockbridge High School mentions over in the show. But look, again, it's just a lot. Lewis is third guy because Howard was the replacement starter. Look, at some point, it's just too much to overcome. And again, you're on your third quarterback and your opponent's playing well. It's a hard thing for K-State to overcome here. I was on Kansas State +6. That was one of the bad ones today.
It's been a pretty good day for you.
Look, in-game wagering college football is great. That was a pre-flop one that was not a no bueno.
Could this be another potential spot for an in-game wager? Because last week, you and I, we were in these same seats watching North Carolina basically naming their score in a win last week where Sam Howell, the quarterback for the Tar Heels, and another guy who had big hopes for a Heisman Trophy, struggled mightily in week one, that upset loss at Virginia Tech to start the season for NC, but had rebounded, looked outstanding last week with five touchdowns in that big win for the Tar Heels. But they come on the road now, Jeff, and are struggling mightily at a Georgia Tech team in the Yellow Jackets, who, look, they took Clemson to the brink last week in a narrow loss, covered the spread easily for Georgia Tech, and they're up 13-7 right now, early third quarter. These road struggles for Mack Brown, it's continuing so far, maybe seemingly ticking off signs to betters, that maybe the Virginia Tech game, not just a one-off.
Or maybe Georgia Tech actually isn't horrible, even though, again, that week one loss to Northern Illinois is looking like a horrible one for the Elegant Jackets.
Look,
I'll say this, and kind of learned after week one when Clemson really looked mediocre against Georgia, at least offensively, and then that has not been a one-day thing for Clemson. Scored 14 points last week. They score 17 today in overtime. That offense is not that good, and for Georgia Tech, again, I don't know. I thought Georgia Tech was going to be a bad team this year. I thought that they were really going to struggle the whole way through, and I thought this was a good bounce back for UNC on the road in conference play, and it just hasn't worked out like that tonight. So, would it shock me if UNC comes back and wins this game? No, but for the ACC, in a year going into it where it looked like not only will they have Clemson, they might have North Carolina being in the mix to make the playoff if things go right. They're going to end up with zero teams in the playoffs at this rate. Clemson's not getting there. Their season done. It's done. They're going to be lucky to go 9-3 at this point. They're going to lose another game down the road. This is just not a good team. The rest of the conference, highly mediocre. going to be looking at playoff without the ACC this year.
And look, you think about Georgia Tech, too. They've just been in the dregs of the ACC trying to move on from the Paul Johnson era.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're on a backup quarterback in this game, Jordan Yates, who has basically been asked to just not turn the ball over. That was a huge issue, 25 turnovers last year for this Georgia Tech team. He's just 3 of 6 for 21 yards so far, and they're winning the game, Jeff. We're in the third quarter. So that tells you all you need to know right now about what's going on for Sam Howell. Just 12 of 18, the UNC quarterback, 112 yards, Jeff. And looking at the live numbers, seeing North Carolina now down to -2.5. Georgia Tech does have the ball. They're just at the start of the third quarter, and your live total at 48.5. This was a team, Jeff, that scored 59 points on their own last week. We saw in-game totals of over... Oh, it was 98.5, right? Was our high water mark of the totals last week?
Oh, so, I got the one. Didn't get the 110.
I get my not 110.
106.
Maybe 102.5.
Oh, okay.
I think, but that like what a turnaround from week to week here. It's just bizarre for
a week to week sport, Ben.
I know, but I think we all assumed. All right, you get that weird weeknight rivalry and big upset potential loss. You get it out of your system in Virginia Tech, and you kind of move on, get your season started. But this would be a huge hiccup to take for North Carolina, so we'll see if they can respond. By the way, start of the third quarter, Oklahoma does come down and kicks a field goal, so that's 10-10 between Oklahoma and West Virginia as they get on the board, now laying 6.5 live, Jeff, 44.5 in total. You're not going to want anything
there.
I
still don't want it.
Yeah.
This is one of those unbettable in-game with the way this has gone so far.
And unfortunately for Tennessee, I know you said earlier you thought the odds on them actually covering this full game 19 were still pretty good. Well, it's about to be a sweat because Florida has scored twice in pretty rapid succession here. They just got another Emory Jones touchdown pass, a 9-yard pass to bring Jones now on the night, Jeff. 18 of 21, 182 yards and 2 touchdowns. For a guy who had 2 touchdowns to 5 picks in his first 3 games. Pretty remarkable turnaround for him tonight.
Again, Dan Mullen's a good coach. He's finally coached him up. And this is, again, this Florida team, they showed us enough last week that they are good enough to play with anyone. And again, if you're Florida, you win out your schedule, you're in the SEC championship game with a second crack at Bama. Doesn't matter what Georgia does, because if you're running the table, if you're Florida, you beat Georgia at that cocktail party.
Our good mutual friend, David Bierman, Florida alum, big Gator fan, is here at the Circus Sportsbook. Saw him earlier, and he was in a booth. Next to a booth of very, I could only describe as rowdy Tennessee Vols fans.
So next to a booth. Very good.
It was getting a little chippy down on the casino floor. So right now, 31-14. And that live, Jeff, has been suspended. Last in-game number I was seeing, though, up to 62.5. So we'll see that readjust as they are to the end of the third quarter. So we should get an updated number for you there momentarily. West Virginia has the ball back across midfield for Oklahoma. So, again, I think that's going to be a game that we end up following the longest.
Oh,
if you had to handicap all
one.
These games, probably, right?
Yeah, it's the most intriguing one.
It's going to be the most intriguing one. Going to go down to the wire. However, what we do have coming up, though, we're going to continue following all these college football games live and in-depth as they go deeper on tonight. Also get some previews as well of our late games, which we have a number of top 25 teams in action starting at the 10 o'clock Eastern window. Up next, though, we will get a couple minutes in with our good man, Jordan Sherwood, who will break down UFC 266, the main event. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll give you some final plays if you have not gotten involved yet on the other side. That is all still to come along with our NFL Week 3 previews for the next 3.5 hours. All right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN is now available 24/7 on the YouTube TV Sports Plus package. Sign up today at tv.youtube.com to start your free trial. And remember, you can also watch us 24/7 on Fubo TV, Sling, and Xfinity X1. Visit vsin.com to find all the ways to watch and listen to VSiN. As we're back on VSiN Bet Center, a couple of quick scoring updates to give you. Jeff Parles, my co-host, still keeping any faint hopes alive of a Kansas State comeback, because just as we talked ill on the third-string quarterback, the youngster, Jaron Lewis, for Kansas State. He goes out, throws a 55-yard touchdown pass to his running back and basically has turned this into now an 11-point game. End of the third quarter right now as Deuce Vaughn scampers in for the touchdown. Any hope still for you there, Jeff?
I just need to cover 6. I don't need to win the game.
You need one more score.
I just need to cover 6.
You just
the need whole, to, day, whole new
you
ball
just
game
need
now.
To cover six. And actually, this is the final play right now of the third quarter.
That's not going to work, though.
It is a sack taken as Kansas State got the ball back down 11 in Stillwater at Oklahoma State. We will wait and see. We should get an updated in-game line momentarily. But as Jeff mentions, he got him at six. This closed five, actually, at one shop in town at BetMGM. So a lot of late money coming to the Wildcats taking on the Cowboys tonight at Oklahoma State. And they're at the end of the third quarter in East Lansing. Still 13 up between Sparty and the Huskers. Pick them going to the fourth quarter, Jeff. And it probably should be, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Feels like a three.
That sounds right.
Feels
that,
like
that,
maybe
this
a three
feels
point
like
game.
Someone's winning by a
Taylor
Martinez.
No, it's
Martinez.
A fumble. And I think Michigan State has it.
He was in bounds.
Michigan State recovers the fumble from Adrian Martinez. Just as we thought he had turned the corner, Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback, turnover. And it's Michigan State ball. We're less than a minute into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's he can't take that.
In Nebraska territory, and that will probably turn this from a pick'em to probably
three.
Michigan State three.
Three
we'll
and
wait
a,
for
maybe
the,
even three and a
we'll
half.
We'll wait for the updated number. I'm seeing now 3.5.
Yeah.
At the moment. All right. With all that being said, let's take just a couple minutes. We'll detour, go away from the college football. Well, we've been following that basically all day. I know our man Jordan Sherwood. He has been locked in some sort of some sort of cave somewhere, watching all UFC all day, and we're basically paying off all the people who have now been waiting to watch the main event because it starts in about 15 minutes as we bring him on. Give him a follow on Twitter at WoodOn1063. Jordan Sherwood, one of our favorite MMA experts to join the network on a frequent basis. And Jordan, as we get ready here for the main event to start, I know we'll have our big card tonight as we'll have the main one. I know we were talking throughout the week about potential steam coming to Alexander Volkanovski. He takes on Brian Ortega. That is the main event of the main card later on tonight in a couple hours. I know you have a pretty good idea of who's going to win this fight, but at the price we're seeing it now, it's up to minus 200 at a lot of shops here. Do you still think there's value on the favorite when we've seen all the steam come this way?
Yeah, I think if it goes any higher than $2, it's probably just stay away. Look, I mean, Brian Ortega is a fantastic fighter, and he was brilliant in his last performance, a unanimous decision victory over Chan Sung Jung, a fight that I faded him on. I didn't think he was going to win that fight. I had Jung winning that fight, and I think he was like a plus 180 underdog. Now he's a plus 155 underdog, as you see there, against the guy that's ruling the division, Alexander Volkanovski, who I think has value at $1.80, $1.85, but trending towards that $2 price, $2.10, you probably want to stay away. But I do believe Alexander Volkanovski just has all the answers for Brian Ortega, whether it's on the feet or, you know, Ortega's a very good slick submission artist. Volkanovski's, takedown defense, his wrestling pedigree is going to be enough for me in my mind that he's not going to get into that game. So I think now you probably want to wait to play that fight live as it plays out. Perhaps Ortega gets off to a fast start. Volkanovski could weather that storm and take some of the rounds late. But if it gets higher, as I mentioned, the $2, $2.10, you probably just want to wait and see.
Jordan, in what would have been one of the best fights of the year in 2015, now being fought here in 2021, Nick Diaz back in the ring after over a half decade away, or the octagon, I should say, after a half decade away against Robbie Lawler. Lawler minus 150 right now, Diaz plus 130 at DraftKings.
Yeah, the best tweet I just saw was Nick Diaz missed the entire Reebok era of the UFC, and that was like a seven-year deal. I mean, look, the guy hasn't won a fight in the UFC since 2011, and that was against BJ Penn. So that's a decade ago. We last saw him in the octagon, like, laying on the canvas against Anderson Silva. And look, it was a pick'em fight. Then he shows up fight week. He, like, doesn't know where he is. His interviews are weird. He's shadowboxed and looks sluggish and out of shape. So big money comes in on Robbie Lawler. I'm still on Nick Diaz, and I'm maybe leaning a little bit hesitant, but I'm still on Nick Diaz. I believe he wins the fight because Nick Diaz, even though he's 39 years of age, like, the dude, like, just does decathlons for fun. It's not like he's not going to be in shape. He's a fighter, and his fight mentality, the way that he fights, pressuring guys, boxing them up, cardio for days, that's been the formula to the kryptonite, if you will, for Robbie Lawler his last couple of times out. Neil Magny did it. Colby Covington did it. Tyron Woodley did it. So we're talking about a guy in Robbie Lawler who's also a little bit long in the tooth. He's lost four of his last five. I think Lawler needs a power punch to land to win this fight. And like, Nick Diaz doesn't get stopped. Like, he never gets stopped. I think the only time he's ever been stopped or knocked out is because of cuts. So I think Nick Diaz is the play at plus 140. I'll grab him. just having the confidence that even though he hasn't been performing in 5 years, he hasn't been in the octagon in six, he hasn't had a victory in 10, I'll still take him as a dog because of the way he fights and the way that Robbie Lawler fights.
And if he hits, you can, you know, tell your grandkids someday you had a winning ticket on a guy who missed an entire full marketing era of the UFC, a full 7 year stretch, is that Jordan Sherwood. Gives us a few minutes here on VSiN Bet Center. I know the fight that's getting underway here to start the main card in about 10-15 minutes, one that will have a lot of intrigue and one that we have seen a little bit of line movement. I know we showed that graphic a moment ago from our morning odds as of today at DraftKings, and some of these have certainly shifted as we've gotten closer, Jordan, to fight time here. But Cynthia Calvillo and Jessica Andrade going at it. We're seeing now, I'm seeing Andrade down as low as a minus 200 favorite, was up in that 240 range earlier today. You're down to about plus 175. You can still get Calvillo in the plus 190 range coming into a fight like this. What's your angle here on fight number one of this main card?
Yeah, I'm not happy that a lot of this public money or any of this money is coming in on Cynthia Calvillo. I had her as, you know, plus 225 underdog, and I love that price because of her evolution as a striker and her pedigree as a grappler. I think that she's one of the best flyweights that we have. She struggled a little bit earlier on in her career getting to the scale and actually figuring out what weight class that she wanted to compete in. But look, Jessica Andrade is a former champion. She's a power puncher, you know, well-versed in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But I think Calvillo is going to be all that she can handle. And I'll take her at plus money. If it gets down to that plus 180, that's another stay-away fight for me. And maybe I play it live and see how the first round shakes out. But you know, Andrade coming off a loss, even though it was to the champion in Valentina Shevchenko, I think the grappling and the clinch is going to be an issue for Andrade. She's going to be the smaller fighter. Calvillo will have the size advantage. That's a plus for me as well. So I like Calvillo as the underdog. And I think, you know, a lot of people who were playing Jessica Andrade earlier were just, you know, renowned on her power punching status, her former champion status. But I'm big on Calvillo, even though she lost her last time out as well. I think she bounces back with an impressive win as the dog tonight.
Jordan, any chance Lauren Murphy has it at all to pull that massive upset against Shevchenko?
I mean, if she does, because she fights like a dog. Like, she's just grindy, you know, dirties up fights, makes people uncomfortable. You know, also a fighter that's never been stopped before in 19 professional fights. But my play is on Shevchenko. My play is on Shevchenko to actually win the fight, win it inside the distance. And I've got a small prop on her via submission at plus 450, going back to just how tough Lauren Murphy is. I don't think she gets stopped via strikes. I think Valentina Shevchenko could showcase a submission. And a lot of people have been saying, like, there's pattern for Shevchenko. Wins a decision, wins a finish. Wins a decision, wins a finish. Her last win, a unanimous decision, or excuse me, a finish over Andrade. So likely a decision. I don't buy it. I hear rumors in her camp. She wants one more shot at Amanda Nunes. She wants another opportunity to challenge her for the best of the best. The way you do that, you finish a fighter like Lauren Murphy, who's never been stopped in her 19-fight career.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Again, that main card starts here in about 15 minutes or so. Again, Jordan Sherwood, always so kind to give us some time here across the network on a variety of shows. Give him a follow again at Woodon 1063, host of the main event. You can hear that on ESPN West Palm, where our comrade Kelly Bidlin and him used to be great co-workers there in Florida. So it's always great to see you, Jordan. Best of luck on your picks tonight. Thanks, as always, for the insights and the time.
All right, Ben, Jeff, have a great rest of your evening. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. As we also take a look while we were speaking with Jordan, Jeff, a couple of interesting updates going on in the football scape.
Yeah, yes. Also, over Bidlin mentions over 1.5 cashing as well.
So. We had an earlier Bidlin mention?
Oh, actually, we need one more. My mistake.
Jeff,
I got the one cardinal sin.
You can't count your money before the ticket cashes.
I got overexcited there. West Virginia is taking the lead on Oklahoma. That's the biggest thing that happened while we were talking to Jordan. Field goal. I'm kind of surprised West Virginia didn't go for it on fourth and goal, actually. But they settled for the short field goal. They have a 13-10 lead on Oklahoma. And Ben, this Oklahoma team, this is a month. This is what they are against real competition. They're pretty pedestrian.
Meanwhile, it has gone from bad to worse for North Carolina.
Yes,
Georgia Tech, another touchdown, a Sims one-yard touchdown run. 20-7 Yellow Jackets trying to pull off the upset on North Carolina. We'll get you an updated live line. I am seeing, though, Georgia Tech -8 right now live for the game. As we get into hour two, we'll continue to break down some of the late-night college football action right here on VSiN Bet Center.
Fourth
Before you place your next bet, visit vsin.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit vsin.com today.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bring you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
To see and hear the things that I do, and it looks relatively simple, but I would say that, like, especially guys probably 21 to 35 years old, who said, Jimmy, I know the left fielder of the Dodgers, Jimmy, they give me all that stat stuff. And I told him, it's a little more than that. It's nice. 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 A little more.